Go ahead and turn in your Bibles. Our Christmas meditation is going to be from 1 John 4. Now, I recognize that 1 John is not your typical Christmas passage. But in fact, 1 John is filled with references to that first Christmas, to the incarnation. Many of us have been on this planet long enough to know the name Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey had a radio broadcast three or four times a day. He's probably most famous for his segment that he called The Rest of the Story. In one of those segments, he shared about a farmer who had basically lost his faith. He'd received some hard knocks in life. He became bitter, cynical. He isolated himself from everyone, including his own family. One year, a few days before Christmas, he heard this strange thumping noise outside of his screen door. It was bitterly cold. He looked out and didn't see anything. And yet as he looked, he heard that thumping again. He looked down and there were some sparrows, young sparrows, that perhaps shouldn't even been out of the nest. And they were tapping at the screen door with their beaks. They felt the warmth come from inside into the through the crevice of the screen door. He opened the door and he discovered they were at least old enough to fly because they scattered. He went to the barn and opened it up. He said, I've got to do something. These birds are going to freeze. He laid some hay right there in the barn, turned on the light, turned on a heater in there. And he tried to coax the little birds into the barn with some cracker crumbs. But they'd scattered so much that when he came out, they were afraid of him. They didn't understand that he was there to help them, not to hurt them. He did everything he could. He went back inside to see if maybe they would just go ahead and walk in. They didn't. They landed a few feet in front of the barn door. He went out and circled them, tried to sort of coax them into the barn. Nothing would happen. He became frustrated. He so wanted to help these birds. He was even sort of ashamed at himself. Well, why do I care so much about these birds when I don't care about so many people around me? He was struck afresh with the bitterness, the hardness, the cynicism in his soul. And then Paul Harvey said, now for the rest of the story. In that moment of insight, he began to think, if I could just become a bird, then these young sparrows wouldn't be afraid of me. If I could become a bird, I could lead them into the barn. And at that moment, all of his hardness melted away as he realized afresh the wonder of the incarnation. The God who to many of us is big and scary and mysterious, in some ways took away his bigness, his scariness, and his mystery by being born a baby. A baby that was helpless, that would have died from the cold had it not been taken care of, that had to be fed, washed, bathed, changed, protected. And the man rediscovered his faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a little hardened. Maybe your faith has grown cold. Maybe Christmas this morning has lost its mystery. Well, Christmas never lost its mystery for John the Apostle. He was known as the beloved disciple. He always described himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He had this unique relationship with Jesus. He felt the Savior's love. He didn't just trust in it. He didn't hope in it. He existentially and experientially lived in it. And that's the apostle that writes this first letter, the first letter of John to the church. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's word. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, and I want you to consider Christmas. I want you to consider the incarnation. I want you to consider Jesus being born a baby. Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, cannot love God. Whom he has seen cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. May God bless the hearing and teaching of His inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray. Father, in our few moments together, open up this passage. Where our hearts are icy, thaw them. Where our hearts are bored, engage them. Where our hearts are bored, engage them. Where our hearts are broken, make them whole. Holy Spirit, flood us with the love of the Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Truth and the word love, the most searched terms on the web. It seems that people are hungry to know and experience not only truth, but love. And Jesus is full of both truth and grace. It is as we look at the child born on Christmas Day that we understand the love of God. Three things, three ways we learn about God's love. Three things we need to do with this passage to understand Christmas more effectively. First of all, we need to see the love of God. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 14. John says, "We have seen and testify that God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's about the love of God. And how many of us love to see that cartoon when Linus explains to Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about by reading the Christmas story? We've read that Christmas story together. We did it last night. We did it last week. Many of us have already done that this Christmas season as families. But do we see the love? Are they just words going back to Charlie Brown? Is it like his teacher? Womp, 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 womp. Or do you really see the love of God? Look at verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest. In this, the love of God was made clear, that He sent His Son. On Christmas Day, the fog lifts on the love of God. So many of us have been beaten around by the circumstances of this broken, fallen world. And it distorts our image of God. It distorts His heart toward us. You ever one of those house of mirrors? You know, at a carnival or a fair or some kind of amusement park? And the mirrors distort you, and they distort the world, and they distort everything you see. You know, they even have computer apps now, so that when you're chatting with somebody over the internet, you can actually begin to distort your face and their face. I don't know why you'd want to talk to somebody when they're all distorted. But the fact is, we do that every day as we walk with God. His image is distorted in our eyes. Now, those house of mirrors really aren't a house. Usually it's a maze, and you're trying to actually get somewhere as well, but sometimes you get lost because things are so distorted. Or maybe you don't want to look at distortions anymore. And the really good houses of mirrors, they have a four-sided regular mirror above the maze, so you can look up, gain perspective on reality, see yourself as you really are, and see through the maze so that you could wind through it and get to safety or get out of the distortion. That's what Christmas is supposed to do for us. In the midst of our distortion, in the midst of our loss of perspective, we're to look up. We're to see the child grown to be a man, suffered, died, rose, and ascended. And we gain perspective. We see the love of God manifest. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were sinners, He sent Christ. Listen, folks, love isn't an emotion only. God's love is a settled disposition of the heart to do His children good at all times. That means no matter what circumstances we face, though the mirrors of our fallenness may distort God's heart toward us, we are to look at Christmas and receive the proof that God's heart toward us is good. And we may not be able to see our problems in an undistorted fashion, but we can look at God and see His love manifest. Don't go to sleep tonight without asking the Spirit to show you the Father's love. We need to see the love. Then secondly, we need to know the love. Listen, there's a lot of us who see the love in the text. We see the love in Scripture. But do we really experientially know it? Do we existentially know the love of God? Look at verse 16. John says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Knowing the love of God is something we grow into. It's not something that we're going to get and just move on. Every single day is an opportunity to know the love of God more deeply. We need His Spirit to do that. Look at verse 13. We know that we abide in Him and He in us because He's given us His Spirit. Listen, God has not left His children as orphans. He's given us the Spirit who's just like Jesus living within us. Now, this Christmas, I'm not going to assume anything. There's friends, there's family gathered together with our church family this morning. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, you are indeed an orphan. You are living on your own. You are living as though there's no one to take care of you in this dog-eat-dog world. Let me encourage you. There'd never be a better day to come to Christ than Christmas morning. Make sure you really understand the gospel today. The good news is that in spite of our sin, a holy God has made a way out of the distortion, out of the sin. It is through the child. But you're not given eternal life. You're not given new life by knowing a bunch of facts only. It's not enough to know that on this day Jesus was born Savior of the world. We need to individually and personally do something with that intellectual knowledge. We need to be willing to trust, to hope in, to count on, to depend upon this child who grew to be a man, who suffered, who died, who rose, who ascended. We need to cast ourselves upon the promises of this child who became our Savior on the cross. And we need to rest completely that God loves us through His Savior. Have you done that? Do you understand the gospel? Do you know and believe and rest in the love of God? Listen, there's lots of people who know but don't know. In Hebrews 4, verse 2, it says this: the Israelites had the good news preached to them just as we have, but it didn't benefit them because they did not mix what they heard with faith. Have you all mixed what you've heard with faith? We come to know the love of God experientially as we hope in Christ on a daily basis. We have come to know and believe, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. What are you afraid of today? If you know Christ, you don't need to be afraid of the judgment. But what are you afraid of as far as circumstances in your lives? Every time we fear, it's an opportunity to grow in love. Think about all your fears and approach every single one of them with the knowledge that He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for you, how much more will He not with Him freely and graciously and lovingly give you all things? Transform your fears into opportunities to grow in the knowledge of the love of God. Many of you have seen The Chronicles of Narnia, the movie that put into film C.S. Lewis's great works about Narnia, this magical place where there's a king named Aslan, the lion, who represents Christ in all the stories. One of the themes of those books is a growing relationship between Aslan, the king, and a little girl named Lucy. In one of the books, in Prince Caspian, Lucy's sleeping on the ground and she's awakened by a noise. It sounded like a roar, but she couldn't quite tell. She follows the noise, and there in the middle of a grassy land under the moonlight is Aslan. And she runs and buries her head in his mane and says, "Aslan, Aslan, you've come back again. You're so much bigger than you were before." And Aslan says, "Dear child, it's good to see you, but I am no bigger." She said, "Aslan, you seem bigger." And Aslan said, "Child, every year you grow, I will appear bigger because you will see more of me." This Christmas, is Jesus bigger to you than He was last year? Is His love deeper, wider, higher, broader than it's been in the past? We grow into an understanding of God's love. It doesn't grow, but it grows to us as we live in faith. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians 3 that our hearts would be illumined and enlightened, that we would grow in faith so that we could know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we would understand how high and wide and deep and long is the love of God in Christ. See the love, know the love, and then thirdly this morning, be the love. Look at verse 17. John says, "As He is, so also are we in this world." In this world, we are to reflect the love of God that we know and that we see in the incarnation. We are to incarnate. We are to make real in other people's eyes the love of God. Look at verse 14. He was sent to be the Savior of the world. Have you thought about the world today? All across the globe, people are celebrating the birth of the Messiah. Do you know that most of the world lives on less than $2 a day? Do you realize that most of the world struggles with clean drinking water? We're going to go home for Christmas dinner, and we're going to turn on the tap, put a glass under there, and drink it. Much of the world can't even do that. We're to be the love of Christ to the world. Don't hear a guilt trip this morning. Hear opportunity. You want to give Christmas gifts today? It's great that we give them to each other, but we are, as the church, the Christmas gift to the world. Not just today, but every day. We love because He first loved us. That's what it says in verse 19. As we understand, as we see, as we know the love of God, it pours through us to others. In verses 20 and 21, John says, whoever loves God must also love his brother, his sister. Who is our brother, our sister? Well, in the church, it's everybody around us who knows Christ. In Galatians 6, Paul says, do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christian love begins in the home. Christian love begins with the people you live with. If you're married, it begins with your spouse. Then it flows to your children if you have children. If you're single, you have Christian roommates, it begins there. Christian love is practiced first in the home. And then it's practiced secondly in the church. Do you have relationships in your home or in the church that are strained today? Christmas is a great time to reconcile. I mean, those are bold words that John writes. If anyone says he or she loves God, that's easy to say, isn't it? But if you hate your brother or sister, now, don't give yourself some wiggle room here this morning, people. It doesn't mean you really have to hate them. What it means is if you've got tension that's unresolved with another brother or sister, be it in your own home or your own church, if you say you love God and you're not pursuing reconciliation, the beloved Apostle John calls you a liar and says, if you say you love God whom you've not seen, but you don't love your brother whom you've actually seen, you're a liar. That's why Jesus said, if you're on your way to worship and you become aware of something that somebody has against you, don't even go to worship. Be reconciled to your brother or sister. See the love, know the love, be the love. Which element of the gospel do you need this morning? Do you need just to ask God to open your eyes? Do you need to experience God's love at a deeper level? How can you be the love to others today? James Dobson tells a story about a woman who was elderly named Stella Thornhope. It was her first Christmas without her husband. He died recently. She didn't even want to decorate. She didn't want to be around anybody. She just wanted Christmas to come and go. She was snowed in to make things even worse. No one could even get to her. But somehow, there was a knock on the door Christmas afternoon. It was some young delivery boy. He had a box. Knocked at the door. She answered her, are you Mrs. Thornhope? Yes, I am. I have a delivery for you. She said, how did you get here? He said, well, I was able to walk from where this box came from. She said, what's in the box? He says, well, first you have to sign for it. She signs for it. What's in the box? He opened it up and there was a yellow lab puppy. 10 weeks old. Fully housebroken. Ready to be enjoyed. She says, well, who's it from? The young man said, it's from a breeder down the street. Well, why do I have one? There's a letter. It explains it all. Well, who told the breeder to give me a puppy? Well, ma'am, actually, it's from your husband. It's all explained in the letter. She sat down, put the pup in her lap, read the letter. And her husband said that he knew this day was coming. Christmas without him for the first time. And he said, I didn't want you to be alone. And I didn't want you to think your life was over. God's taken me home, and I'll wait for you. But Jesus isn't done with you. And to help you understand that he's not done with you, I've given you this puppy. And I want you to raise it. I want you to care for it. I want the puppy to remind you that you still have purpose in this life. She put down the letter and stared outside, and she heard on the stereo, Joy to the World come on. And this puppy was just wagging its tail, looking at her. She scooped it up, this gold fur ball around her neck, and said, we have some decorations down in the basement. It's not too late to decorate. Let's celebrate this Christmas together. And she was so thankful for the gift of love that her husband had thought through months before so that she wouldn't be alone. You know, the greatest gifts we receive are gifts that are given to us and we understand the heart of love. We understand the heart of compassion. We understand the thoughtfulness. Think about the gifts you've received this Christmas. Aren't those the best gifts? People, you cannot imagine the thoughtfulness, the compassion, the love that's behind the gift of Christ. And on this Christmas day, God reminds us, if we're here, he's not done with us yet. There's a lot that we have been made for. And we're to grow in the love of God on a yearly basis, and we're to be the love of God to others. This Christmas, that's the best gift we could give in return to God. It's the best gift we could offer to others as well. Let's pray.